So GetLamp has the main documentary. Mm-hmm. It's, if I remember correctly, Chris, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's like about an hour 10, something like that.
Yes, about there.
Okay. So that's the main thing. And then they also had at least two other things. I think that there's a third thing, and I'm forgetting right now. But one of them was essentially a collection of essentially cutting room floor stuff. Mm-hmm. A bunch of extra stuff off of interviews that they couldn't fit into the original documentary. And that was like 2 hours of like material. Yes. It's like double the length of the interview. And then alongside that, they also released a 47 minute long documentary that focuses only on Infocom, the rise and fall.
Yes.
And Chris, let me just say thank you for pointing out that I had watched not the actual documentary, but the outtakes.
Yes. So I was like, you put into a link to this on YouTube, and all of this is available for free on YouTube. And I was watching it, and I was like, is this really a 2 hour, like a 20 minute long, like documentary about this? And I did a little digging, and I saw that the time, you know, the running time on the doc that I saw on Letterboxd was actually 70 something minutes. I was like, okay, so there's something up here. And then I was able to find the actual doc itself. And that's when I puzzled out that the link that you had shared was actually the cutting room floor stuff. So I decided to call an audible and actually watch the real documentary. And then,
yes.
And then I also watched the Infocom.
It wasn't so much a calling out as a calling in.
That's right. Yes.
But no, I think it was all very amicable, folks. Don't feel bad. but me with egg on my face, I watched the original documentary, and Chris, I believe you and I sort of offline agreed. It was like, wow, you know, it's not really much to the original documentary.
No. So
I think that there's a couple of really interesting interviews in the sense that they get people that I did not expect. Okay. One of them being, I did not know who I think is Mary Ann Buckles, mm-hmm. Who they interviewed. She has a longer interview in the original documentary format. Than in the outtakes.
Oh, okay.
So like they managed to put her like more of her than was cut. So mm-hmm. that's good. And she's I don't know if you dug any deeper on her, but she apparently had written, I believe, as the first like PhD paper or thesis mm-hmm. on. Something about, I don't remember now the exact thesis, but it was based off of Adventure or wow. the Colossal Cave Adventure, mm-hmm. both being the sort of like the, I think it's unarguably one of the first interactive fiction games as we know it.
Yes.
In the period, right?
Right. Or at least, yes, that's what they posited at least in the documentary. So can we take a quick step back for anyone who might not know what we are just talking about and kind of put into context that we are discussing games of the computer games that were made in the 70s and 80s and early 90s that were text-based. Mm-hmm. And they were like adventure games, fantasy games, or murder mystery games, and they were all completely, you know, text-based, so there was no graphics to speak of, other than the interesting thing that came up was the feelies that they started putting into.
Oh God, dude, you do not know how much fun that was to like open up. Like I only ever owned, I think, one or two of the games. On, you know, like the now we would consider them ridiculously large 5 1/4 inch floppies.
Yes, that's right.
But then there's like a bunch of other stuff that you'd pull out and you're like, oh, wow, cool. I got like a I don't know. I'm going to go. I don't remember exactly, but like I got Zork. Mm-hmm. for Zork One, and wow, look, I got like a weird ticket for like the great underground trolley or something, you know, and right. a bunch of little things that really sort of evoke and yes. put you into this mindset of imagining, because these, I mean,
Zork being probably the most famous of these.
Well, shit, I did not know. And that was a number that they flashed on screen in the documentary itself. But I did not know that they'd sold, like, I think it was 440,000 copies, which is, like, that sounds like chicken feed now, right? But
yeah.
at the time, for something that is not graphics based, is not visually based, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. was an enormous number.
Yeah. And I don't know if you caught it, but some of the prices back then were like 40 to 50 bucks.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's something I believe it's in the one of the cut interviews was, I want to say it was Michael Donbrook, who's one of the Infocom employees, was mentioning that a lot of the addresses that they'd get for ordering had MD, you know, in the name, and you're like, you know, these are pretty wealthy folks. So it's also like it's a different level, right? These are older people. These are adults playing these games.
Hey, everyone. What you just heard is a preview of our latest exclusive episode. To hear the rest and to access our entire catalog of exclusive content, as well as our patrons-only Discord chat, become a patron at patreon.com/podsidepicnic. That's where you can support our work and make sure you get access to everything we do. patreon.com/podsidepicnic.